I'm a Luddite. Should my students be too? By Daniel B. Gallagher. I'm a Luddite, but I can't turn a blind eye to how deeply technology has affected my teaching. On the one hand, it's hard to imagine a greater gift to the humanities than the internet. Not only can you pull up classical texts in readable transcriptions, you can instantly access high-resolution images of those texts in manuscript form. Pop into the Latin library for a text-only version of the Aeneid, or go to the Vatican Library for stupendous images of the Virgilius Vaticanus, a 1,600-year-old illuminated codex. Few of my students, of course, are trained to work with the Virgilius Vaticanus, but with a little Latin, they can delve into Virgil, Ovid, Horace, Cicero, Livy, and a host of other Latin authors at the Latin Library. You would think that such ready access to the great works of the past would make it possible to bring students with little to no background up to speed rather quickly. Take Dante's Divine Comedy, for instance. You don't even need to have a physical copy anymore, though don't be caught dead in my class without one. You have the entire Italian text, multiple English translations, and copious commentary all at Digital Dante. Considering how little students know about mythology, Christianity, philosophy, theology, history, and all the other things you need to know to follow the commedia, the internet is a godsend. Never heard of Pasifae? Go to Wikipedia. Then click images and immerse yourself in a range of artworks depicting the Cretan queen mating with a minotaur. Don't know Guido Ginizelli? His biography is yours with the click of a button. So are his poems, his portrait, in an article that analyzes a recently discovered manuscript of his poem Omo, Saggio non cor legero, a wise man does not run lightly. In short, you can make up for a lifetime of lost learning or write a decent term paper without ever entering a library. But herein lies the mystery. Why don't students do it? Why don't they take the simple steps necessary to become familiar with the Middle Ages or fill in other knowledge gaps that have widened during their youth, often through no fault of their own? Plenty of studies have already shown the detrimental effects of desultory internet browsing. Many tech enthusiasts have conversely argued for the astounding learning progress possible through apps such as Duolingo. Being the Luddite that I am, I want to offer two other answers, one more distressing than the other. The first is that the humanities must be taught with passion, a passion that inspires students to read, say, the entire Iliad, not the Cliff's Notes. Even with a world full of books at his disposal, the average student, no matter how bright, won't turn the cover page of the Iliad unless someone has at least suggested to him that it will change his life. But this is not merely a matter of cheerleading. Plenty of parents in the homeschooling movement do that day after day, but again, through no fault of their own, have read only the Cliff's Notes. They know the importance of the great books, but have only a vague idea of what makes them great. You can only figure that out by reading the entire Iliad. The Iliad will change your life. The Cliff's Notes will not. My wife and I homeschool four, so I know it's easier said than done, but I can offer no other answer. I am afraid the second answer is much more serious. Namely, maybe there are no gaps. What appear to be gaps are actually corners of the brain stuffed with garbage, false narratives, and outright woke propaganda. Where a love of Homer and Dante and many others should reign, a wrathful cynicism towards everything they represent seethes and rots. This became glaringly evident to me during the infamous February 16th interview with Marco Rubio on Face the Nation. The host, Margaret Brennan, asked the Secretary of State to respond to criticisms directed at J.D. Vance for meeting with the leader of the far-right Alternative for Germany party, Alice Weidel, during the vice president's recent visit to Munich. Mrs. Weidel was elected to the Bundestag in 2017 and received her party's nomination to run for chancellor in the federal election later this year. Rubio rightly responded to Brennan's question by politely reminding her that both the United States and Germany are democracies and should therefore welcome the exercise of free speech and the opportunity to consider the opinions of others. Brennan then expressed her concern that the vice president should meet with the leader of a party with historic ties to extreme groups while standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. Any doubt I had that her brain and the brains of countless others have been stuffed with alternative historical narratives at the most distinguished institutions of higher learning was instantly dispelled. Could Brennan, a summa cum laude graduate of the University of Virginia majoring in foreign affairs, have been taught that the Holocaust was ultimately attributable to free speech? Perhaps. But at the very least, she should have been taught the facts about the vicious suppression of free speech in Nazi Germany. Rubio politely insisted, there was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history. The last assertion is the most significant. Brennan resorted to a shockingly inaccurate narrative that millions of innocent people were slaughtered because of an excessive allowance for free speech. I wish I could confidently say that a simple consultation of Wikipedia would have cleared up her confusion. But as Chesterton once remarked, the problem today is not that people are ignorant. They just know too much that is wrong. So, as I say, I'm a Luddite, and I wonder if my students would be better off if they were too.